In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Back here on Downtown.
Things to eat.
On a Monday afternoon. Yes, it is. Time to talk movies with Alan Adams, who joins us in studio. And I'm assured by Alan's people that no speed laws were broken in his journey today. Hello, Alan.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm doing well because I wasn't dealing with messed up traffic.
Man, I tell you what, like, now I don't claim to be an expert, but I would think that if you were planning some sort of construction, say, paving a parking lot, you know, not anything, you know, this is not like a dire emergency like that. So maybe.
hear him out.
I'm just saying, maybe don't do it in a way that ties up one of the only two ways to get off Marsh Island at the time that literally everyone gets off work at the university.
Right, because it's not too tough to figure out. If you could wrap that up by about 4 o'clock, the world would be a happier place.
Like, it's like, because it's right where the University Inn used to be.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So it's, you know, it's that one little bottleneck,
right?
And there's nothing to do.
Got two roads coming in converging.
Yep, and you can't you can't go around unless you want to like go up and like. Go the back way through Bradley and come around that way. And ain't no one got time for that.
No, not in this day and age.
You know, and all that takes into account the fact that, you know, Stillwater is also a mess because of all the bridge work that they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm okay now.
Did you drive or did Sheridan?
Sheridan drove. That's better for everybody. It was just a lot of me muttering obscenities under my breath.
At least you were muttering. I'd be full on yelling.
It's just like use your heads, people. That's all I ask. Yeah. Like, you know, and when even the flaggers look sheepish when you drive by them, you're like, yeah, you guys know. Yeah. Like, you know, this was clearly poorly thought out, and I get it. Like, people need a place to park. The building is not open yet.
So you're saying there's not a sense of urgency.
I'm just saying it probably could have waited until like 10 o'clock tomorrow morning when everybody's already on campus. But again, like, I'm no expert. Maybe there's a reason why it worked this way. I don't know. But muttered obscenities. many obscenities.
Sheridan just lets it all.
Yep. No, bless her heart. She is a much calmer and more patient and just generally overall better person than I am. thank goodness that I have her in my life, because that way I'm here running a little late instead of, you know, being questioned by police.
Right. Road rage incident claims Stillwater man. Well, have you been other than the travel woes?
Oh, I've been good. It's it's been nice. Had a lovely weekend. Got down, visited with the in-laws a little bit. Went and took a peek at our camp. We hadn't been down there since the winter and all that. We had a new deck put on, so we got a chance to look at that. We just wanted to make sure no trees fell on the joint or anything like that. Looked to be in pretty good shape, so that was good. But yeah, no. Saturday night we. Sheridan and I had gotten my father-in-law, Gordon, one of the Solo pizza ovens.
Oh, nice.
As a Christmas gift. And this was the maiden voyage. Ooh. Man, I tell you what, those things are something.
I bet. We got one of the Solo stoves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're a big fan. Like, we have one of those for our backyard fun times. But man, this pizza oven, it's like you're making pizzas in like 3 minutes. Like, it was unbelievable. Like,
wow.
And I mean, they were good. They were well cooked. Like, it was, I was genuinely like, and again, like, we like the Solo stove, so we're like, okay, they make a good product, but I wasn't expecting it to work as well as it did. And like, you know, the accessories kit, like, actually had all the things that you needed, and just like perfect. it was really great, to the point where I think there's a real chance that that Solo stoves are going to be in the future for many folks in the Kelly clan.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
Yep, no, it was very good.
Welcome to Downtown, brought to you by Solo Stove and assorted companies. Have you seen any movies since last we chatted?
You know, I did. I got to see a movie. I went to the theater.
Oh, nice.
And I sat down and watched the new movie If.
Oh, yeah, which was number one this week at the box office.
Written and directed by John Krasinski, starring Ryan Reynolds, among others. And it was interesting, because like when I first heard about it, I was intrigued. Like the idea, yeah. Like it's not a bad concept for those who are unfamiliar. If is actually it actually stands for imaginary friend, and this movie basically posits that imaginary friends do actually exist, but only a select few can see them once their children have grown out of them, and so. We meet a young lady named B, played by Callie Fleming. She's moved in with her grandmother in New York because her father, played by John Krasinski, has to go into the hospital for a procedure. It's the same hospital where her mother had passed years before, because can't make a kids movie without killing off at least one parent,
man.
I guess. Like
Jeez.
It's just it's rough. It's rough. In the course of staying with her grandmother, she sees a mysterious figure sort of following her, and she's like, what is going on? She follows it upstairs to the top floor of the building, where she encounters a gentleman named Cal, played by Ryan Reynolds, who apparently is essentially the only person who can still see imaginary friends until we meet B, who can also see these imaginary friends. And we learn that Cal has been reluctantly working as a matchmaker of sorts to help, you know, to help imaginary friends find new kids to engage with. Not going super well. So the introduction of B into the equation could potentially prove to be very, very helpful to the process. All the while she's visiting her dad in the hospital, and she's engaging with her grandmother, but she goes with Cal and meets, basically winds up going to a retirement home for imaginary friends. So she, like, we see all these various, and they're really wonderfully realized. It's all very CGI and all that sort of thing. And they start trying to figure out how to make it so these imaginary friends can find, can find themselves and continue doing what they do, as opposed to sort of fading away. And that's kind of the deal. Like there are some twists and turns along the way that I'm not going to spoil. But I do need to make clear, just how stacked this cast is. I've already mentioned, Krasinski's in it as the dad, Ryan Reynolds stars. But when we get into the voices, that's when things get, we've got, Steve Carell, plays Blue, a large purple monster that is, one of the primary sort of, ifs that, that B engages with, along with Blossom, a sort of, I don't know if like Betty Boop met a butterfly kind of thing. voiced by Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Nice.
We've got an anthropomorphic bubble named Pop, voiced by Awkwafina. Krasinski is one of the voices. It's a s'mores marshmallow that's constantly on fire and melting. It's like Emily Blunt's a unicorn. George Clooney's a spaceman. Bradley Cooper is an ice cube with a mouth and eyes. Matt Damon is a sunflower.
Good Lord.
Bill Hader. Your favorite and mine, Richard Jenkins.
Wow.
And he's great because he's a, the sort of articulated like figures that they have for art classes.
Yes.
He's one of those. But then it's like Keegan-Michael Key and Blake Lively and Sebastian Maniscalco and Christopher Maloney. Christopher Maloney as a detective, which is hysterical. Sam Rockwell, Maya Rudolph, Amy Schumer. Like, they're all here.
Wow.
You know, and some of them have a couple of lines. Some of them have pretty significant roles. But it's just like...
Krasinski calling in all the markers.
Right. Huh? Just being like, hey, you got a spare afternoon?
Yeah.
Come be a spaceman. Come be a spaceman, George.
All the way from Italy. All right, just record it and send it to us. It'll be fine.
So Bill, here's the deal. Like, you're a banana, but you teach jazzercise and you don't wear pants and it makes everyone uncomfortable. And you can see Hader just being like, yep, let's go.
Yes. Where do I sign up? Yeah.
But it's very sweet and very funny. Some really great jokes. There's a running bit about an invisible imaginary friend. That is quite funny, but it's also very poignant. Like, the relationships that we establish are actually quite moving in their way. And look, we both know I'm a soft touch, so obviously there was a point where I got a little because feeling feelings and all that. But I will say, and this is I feel like this is important to note. It had been a while since I had seen one of these kids' movies in a theater where there were actual kids, and man, it's better. It's just better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, they're so excited. There was a couple rows in front of me. Appeared to be a grandmother and grandfather, taking the grandkids to their first movie.
Oh man.
You know, and like the granddad's like, hey, you know, the first movie I saw was blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, oh, this is so like, one of the things that is sort of one of the central tenets of the movie is this idea of memory and the value of memory and how we carry that forward through our lives. And I'm like, man, that's happening right here. That's happening in front of me. Like, these are core memories that these kids are going to carry with them, you know, and, you know, 40 years from now, assuming we're not all, underwater, they're going to be like telling their kids, oh yeah, the first movie I saw with Nana and Pop Pop at, in Bangor. And it was this movie about imaginary friends. And it's just like having that sort of, I don't know, like almost metatextual aspect to watching the movie, I think greatly enhanced my enjoyment of the experience.
Well, and I'm sure being a dad is played into this for Krasinski, but just from a couple of interviews I've seen and from the trailer, it looks like he's taking a pretty big swing at this one, really trying to elevate it to what I guess I would call Pixar level.
Well, and that's one of the things that sort of I saw in a couple of interviews was the idea of it being referred to as almost a live action Pixar movie.
Mm.
And honestly, like, I mean, that's not a bad descriptor. It's, there's some emotional weight to it, but it's also very funny. Tremendous amount of talent involved in the making of it. It looks great. One of the things that I'm always interested in is when you do when you tell this kind of story where you have characters that some can see but others can't. I'm a sucker for the moments where the people who can't see watch the people who can see engaging with what can't be seen. And there are a couple of really good ones in this one. And it's just, yeah, like. Look, Krasinski's solid. Like, this is, I think, his fifth movie. Behind the camera. And two of them were Quiet Place movies, which were both, you know, very good. It's funny, I actually read an article, I think it was on the AV Club last week, where they were basically looking back at his directorial debut, which was a screen adaptation of David Foster Wallace's Brief Interviews with Hideous Men. And the general consensus at the time was, well, you know, everyone said this was unfilmable, John, and now you know. But upon a critical reinvestigation, it's more like, well, it's still unfilmable, but you did your best, Johnny. And but yeah, like he's moving forward, and I think you're right. I think fatherhood has drastically altered the way he engages with the world, you know, and. In a good way,
right?
I think, you know, and like the fact that, you know, his wife is in the business and they can sort of share that experience with their kids while also, it seems like, really doing their best to focus, like, How do I put this? It feels like they trade off, if that makes sense. Like, it feels like there's always someone, like, with the kids. Like, these are not kids being raised by nannies.
Right.
You know, which I think kind of happens maybe more than we'd like to think.
Sure.
In Hollywood, particularly with these sorts of power couples. But it also feels like all the people involved in this are also people who are very much, like, family-oriented. Mm. Like, as far as A-listers go.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just... it was a really positive experience for me. I wasn't sure what to think when I was going in. Like, I figured, it'll be fine. But it's better than fine. It's really quite a good movie.
Good. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. By the way, so we had Ben Mankiewicz from TCM on last week.
Yeah.
I'm such a huge fanboy.
Oh, of course.
Of him and the entire network. And we were talking about guilty pleasure movies, and he threw out a few, but he also said Unfrosted. And he said, I was worried it was going to be stupid, and it was, but I couldn't help liking it.
Right. There's a weird charm to it, based largely around gormlessness of Jerry Seinfeld. Like, just like, oh, he doesn't know any better, but everyone around him just like, oh, you know, it's Jerry. We'll do what we can.
Right. Right. Hey, I want to let people know what's coming up on Friday night.
Oh, that's right. The focus group is back in action. We're going to do a show on Friday night at the Bangor Arts Exchange, 8 p.m. Doors open at 7:30. Going to be fun. We're going to go there. Going to do our thing.
Whoa.
Going to make some stuff up. Probably going to sweat a lot. Sounds like it's going to be going to be a warm one. But you know, it's summer. It's summertime in Maine.
Right. Like, come sweat with your friends.
Like, I'm so... Man, I've been waiting for this week for a while.
I didn't notice. Are you wearing shorts?
No.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I came straight from work.
Oh.
And on days when I have meetings, I have to dress like an adult.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I hear you.
And I've made my feelings about it fairly well known. I mean, who knows? Like, I mean, it's going to be like, we're getting up into the 80s. Like, I'm going to need some bare legs if I'm going to get through this. Yeah. So
no question. Thanks, Alan.
Hey, my pleasure.
Alan Adams talking movies with us here on Pass the Popcorn on a Monday.